This is Unpublished Opinion for January 4th, 2006. I'm Simba's mom. On today's show, how I became a couch potato, cats in the news, and a movie review of The Producers, and I will unveil my new movie rating system. So first up, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I was in Michigan for about a week. It was actually a little longer than a week because my first flight back got canceled. So while I was there, I didn't do any exercising except for one day of running around in the snow a little bit, and then chasing my nephew around and things like that. Not really sort of regimented exercise. And then I came back, and since then I've had a cold, so I have not been feeling so great. So I haven't been back to the gym at all yet since I've gotten back. So hopefully tomorrow I will feel up to going and get back on track. So that's all I've got to report in the exercise department, because there isn't any. So moving on. Okay, now some cat in the news stories. Now, if you've ever wondered if the saying that cats have nine lives is really true, I have two stories here that sort of prove that cats do in fact have nine lives. First of all, in Montana, I think this was sometime before the new year, apparently some very cruel, evil person decided that they didn't want their cat anymore, so they put him in a cage and weighted him down with a rock and threw him over a bridge. Luckily for the cat, instead of landing in the water, he landed on an ice patch along the side of the water and just stopped there. It's unclear how long he was there before passerbys saw him sitting there in the cage and took him to get him checked out. According to the story, the cat actually went home with one of the firefighters that helped with the rescue, because they had, they had to, lower someone down to get him off the side of the bridge. So one of the firefighters that was involved in the rescue decided to take him home for his daughter. So hopefully the new cat, who they've called Lucky, fittingly, will have a happier home than where he was before. And the other story is took place in New Jersey. Someone was driving down the New Jersey Turnpike and noticed a passing SUV had a cat hanging from underneath the car. It was actually, could see him through the wheel well, clinging to part of the car. Now this was a turnpike, this was a highway, so the SUV was going about 60-70 miles an hour, and the driver of the SUV, obviously had no idea this was going on. They'd actually been driving for about 70 miles before the other driver spotted the cat. And it wasn't his cat. It wasn't like, his cat had crawled into his car while parked in his driveway or something to keep warm or anything like that. They don't know who the cat belongs to. But, I mean, this has happened before. I've heard this, where cats, in the winter especially, get cold and they'll find a car that's been recently shut off or, has been started and warmed up and curl up in there because it's nice and toasty warm, not realizing the danger that they're in. And luckily, again, this cat managed to survive this somehow. He did have some injuries. I think his paws were burned a little bit, and he had some singeing on his fur. But other than that, he's fine. It was quite a little adventure for him. And the cat's been named Miracle, and I think that they're trying to find someone to adopt him. Hopefully someone that'll consider keeping him indoors so that he can be a little safer. And the final cat story today is not so much a story of cat survival, but cat intelligence, if you believe this story. I'm not sure whether or not I totally believe it. But in Columbus, Ohio, there was a man named Gary who was wheelchair bound, and he fell out of his wheelchair and he couldn't reach the phone. And normally he has, you know, one of those medical alert necklaces where you can push the button to summon the ambulance. He didn't have that on, though. But the cat actually went to the phone, and they had 911 as one of the speed dial buttons. And the cat actually dialed 911, and when there was no response on, you know, on the cat's side of the line, you know, the police and then eventually the ambulance came to the house. Now, this I believe. I suppose it could happen that the cat could be, you know, messing around with the phone, push the speed dial button. I mean, it sounded like he dialed 911. But Gary claims that he, you know, spent all of this time teaching the cat how to dial 911 in the event there was an emergency. It is possible to train cats. I mean, I know people think that they're very different from dogs and that you can't train them. I just think they have a mind of their own. But I've trained Simba to sit on command. I guess it is entirely possible that he did train his cat to push a button on a phone, but I just don't know how the cat would have known that he was in distress. Although, then again, now, you know, cats, I think, are very, aware, sort of emotions and feelings and things like that. Because whenever I'm not in a very good mood, Simba always comes up and sits near me, and is much more cuddly, which I think is to cheer me up. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm starting to convince myself that the story could be true. But anyway, it's a kind of a cute story. And now Gary and his cat Tommy are both doing fine. So I'd like to tell you about the movie review rating system that I've come up with, and I will be using this system to rate all of the movies that I see in the future. And if I get time at some point, I want to go back to all of the movies I've reviewed already and assign a rating to them as well, and kind of list little written summaries on my blog in case you want to go back and see what I thought about a particular movie. So the rating system that I've developed, it's going to be the four paw system, you know, like Simba's cat paws. So the rating system will be as follows. One cat paw will indicate that she shouldn't even bother to see it on video. Just a movie that I didn't like at all, you know, had trouble sitting through, wanted it to be over. Two cat paws will be, you know, you can wait for it to come out on video. I liked it, but it wasn't really worth the $8 I paid for the theater. You know, I had some problems maybe with the plot or some of the characters or the movement of the movie, something like that. And then three cat paws will be, I thought it was a good movie, and I think everyone should see it, but you don't need to rush out and see it right now. It doesn't need to be at the top of your list. If you have other things that you want to see, you know, you can wait on this one. And then four paws will be a movie that I think is excellent that you should see right away without further delay. And, you know, don't see anything else. Just go see this movie because I liked it that much. And obviously I'm going to do some, you know, half paw, 1.5 paws, 2.5 paws to sort of fill in the gaps. And of course, I'll continue to do the, you know, the review to let you know what I did and didn't like about the movie. And it won't just be the rating. I will, you know, give more details about how I came to that rating. So even if I give it a low rating, you might decide after my review that you want to see it, because I might say that it's good if you like romantic comedies or if you like action adventure. And so the rating system will be more of just a guide. Whereas, you know, the actual review will explain sort of in more detail the movie and will help you decide whether or not you'd like to see it. Okay, so now here's the first movie review under the new cat paw system. On New Year's Eve, Prince E and I went to see The Producers, which stars Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick in reprisals of their Broadway characters. And it also co-stars Uma Thurman and Will Ferrell as supporting characters. So overall, I'm going to give this a rating of 2.5 cat paws. The things I liked about the movie, I thought that Will Ferrell was hilarious. I thought his character was really funny, and he was probably my favorite part of the movie. There's a couple scenes I also like. There's a really great scene with a bunch of senior citizen women dancing with their walkers in the middle of Central Park, which I thought was really funny. But overall, things I didn't like, I haven't seen the musical version of The Producers, the theater version, but I have a feeling it probably is a little bit better in that genre, just because there's a lot of things that you can sort of put up with at a musical that when you're watching a movie, it just doesn't work. Like, things just seem a little more over the top, a little overdone, a little more out of touch with reality, and it's just hard to stomach it in a movie. There's one scene where Matthew Broderick, he has an anxiety disorder and he has this blanket, which everyone else in the theater thought it was a really funny scene, but I just thought it was sort of foolish. He has this panic attack about this blanket, and it just went on for too long. I don't know why I didn't think it was funny. I just didn't. Another part of the movie that I didn't like was the Uma Thurman character was okay. I mean, I didn't mind her as a whole, but I think after I watched too many episodes of the children's show Ubi, which I mentioned in the last podcast, when she spoke for the first time and then every time she spoke afterwards, I could not stop thinking about Ubi, the TV show, because when she didn't speak perfect English, and her character's name was Ula, so she would say Ula dance, Ula sing. And if you ever watch the Ubi show, this is exactly how this little 3-year-old hand puppet talks. He says Ubi dance, you dance. So she sounded to me, and probably I was the only one in the theater that thought this, I just could not stop comparing her to this little Ubi character. It was so silly. So I think that certainly detracted from my impression of her, but I think she did a good job. The singing in her part was very good, I thought. So overall, like I said, I thought it was a pretty good movie. There were parts of it that were very funny, and there were parts of it that weren't funny at all. They were clearly trying to be funny. There were also some scenes in there that I thought they could have cut out or shortened, but they were probably, I'm guessing, trying to stay as true to the musical as they could. But there were, there were scenes I liked. Like I said, the Will Ferrell scene, the dancing with the walker scene, and there was also a good scene with Matthew Broderick at his job where they did some choreography with adding machines, rather, that all the accountants were using the adding machines rhythmically and singing, and I thought that was very well done. But, overall, it's not as funny as I had hoped it would be. But like I said, I'm assuming if you like the musical, you probably love the movie, because it's the same original cast members from this revival version of The Producers. So it's like seeing the original soundtrack come to life. So I'm sure that if you did like the musical, you'd probably enjoy it a lot better than I did. And I should point out that, like I said, the majority of the theater was laughing quite a bit. Maybe I was just tired, who knows, but it just didn't strike a big chord with me. And that'll do it for today's show. Thanks for listening. On an upcoming show, I will be doing an interview with Prince E, so if you want to submit questions that you'd like to have him answer, you can either post a comment to my blog, or you can email me at unpublishedopinion@sbcglobal.net. And I would also encourage everyone, if you haven't done so yet, to click on the Frapper map icon on my blog and put yourself on there so I know where all of my listeners are at. And again, the blog is simbasmom.blogspot.com. And that's all. Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year.